Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
1,366. Welcome. As you get ready to sit down with the chefs for 2+ hours of good food for thought, courtesy of them and your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tremium in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie, based in Richmond, Virginia. Our brother and sister, D. Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones, based in Philly. We have Ricky Hampton Sr. up in Detroit, along with Michael Robeson in Oakland, California, co-hosts of the African American Athlete Show. They are on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Please lend them your ears and check out their great website at theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. We also have Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, off the heels of his newly published book, The Art of the Interview, Book One. You know, nice time with Oba, chewing the fat and passing on some information, whatnot. It is on sale, Amazon.com. It's a great read. Please indulge. Of course, the rest of the chefs, as we drift in, will be engaging. And as I say that, with me, our fearless leader, the CEO and Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of the Black Athlete Sports Network, Tony McClain. What up, T?
Guilty on all counts.
Being guilty. That's right. Not just a little bit of guilty, but all the way guilty.
Yeah, it was, you know, but I'll say what I said to a lot of people. Yesterday was reminiscent to me of the day that Obama won his first election, in the sense of, okay, now the real work begins, because we're not even done with the state of Minnesota.
Not even close.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have to see if Ms. Taser or Ms. Gunn will get any jail time as well. I mean,
Shitting bricks.
Well, let's put it this way. It was nice to get an L, but I mean, they hand them an L, but
yes.
Now the work really begins. Because the end of the day, you know, George is still not with us. You know, nothing's going to bring George back, but maybe Sandra and Emmett and Sean and Brianna can sleep
a little easier in peace
tomorrow. But yeah, the work still has to be done, and you still have to be vigilant. You still have to be aware. You still have to whatever. There's an old boxing phrase, sitting back and admiring your work. We cannot sit back and admire this yet. And see, I think celebration is probably the worst word to use. I understand why people are using it, but celebration is probably not the best word to use for this. It's more of, I don't really know what sort of a word to use here.
Relief,
you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, sort of redemption, you know, or what have you. But it's literally, you know, you have to sort of use a little coach speak of like, you know, we'll enjoy this for 24 hours and then, you know, to coin a phrase, we'll get
ready
for
Cincinnati. That's a great way of putting it. Yes. That's right. Because it really is nothing to celebrate that it got to the level that it did before it could. As our partner Gary Norris Great comes in the mix, I think Gary hit it on one of our music shows because he said this was a cookie. You know, okay, you gave everybody a cookie because this was either a poison pawn thing where the pawn is sacrificed or it's a cookie where we give them something to chew on because, you know, we knew they were chomping at the door. So mm-hmm. now that this cookie's been given, there won't be enough crumbs to go around. We know that. What's going to happen is, how long will it be before we see the indignity thrown in our face again? And, G, how you doing this evening?
Well, you know, the sad thing is, even before the verdict came out, we had, mm-hmm. There was a woman, I guess it was a shooting. I forget exactly where or what have you. And plus, I don't know if you've seen it on online, where we have this these cops basically
yep.
bum rushing these kids in bikes.
Yep.
So it's it's not over. But again, it's like
nope, it's not.
Like it's funny. I was reminded of the OJ verdict because I remember
mm-hmm.
when the verdict came out. And my mother called, and she was crying. Now, she wasn't crying tears for OJ. She wasn't, but
mm-hmm.
it was more so of just, you got one, sort of speak. Now the work really has to be done. We have to be even more vigilant because you think, put it this way, if you think they're going to take this L, standing down, then you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, you're right about that.
They're not going to take it either. They already started the mess. You have Fox News. I don't watch Fox News that often. I have to watch this week to see what they were saying.
Nah.
These guys have declared war.
They've been declaring war. All that was just an extension.
Yes.
was just an extension. Their reaction was going to be as predictable as an S.D. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. Yes,
that's
know
right.
That.
Yeah.
Know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the. Here's the thing. We can't sit around and wait for their moral compass to show up. It's not going to.
That's right.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And see,
no.
Full disclosure, a bunch of friends of mine, or whatever, they're not, actually, after Ms. Taser did what she did, I felt worse because I felt like that was a warning shot.
Yeah.
I really
mm-hmm.
felt like it was a warning shot. But,
Tony, there was a press conference today in Oakland. The lieutenant of the Oakland PD said there's no way that you can do this because put your taser on reverse side and you put your gun on your power side.
And remember, this is not a rookie fresh out of the academy. This is somebody that
That's
has
right.
been at the job for decades. So there's Chauvin's inmate number is. He was an experienced. He knew exactly what he was doing, just like she knew exactly what she was doing, and so on and so on and so on. And let's put it this way. Like I said, end of the day, we still have to keep our guard up. End of the day, still have to whatever. But because it's we get sort of a temporary whatever. I guess the totality of what of that verdict could have meant probably spoke a lot. But hey, give them credit. They went with what was shown to them, and they got it right. And
they got it right, okay? But you had Candace Owens and Tammy Lord. These two human beings.
And that's pushing it.
That's really pushing it.
They're and again and that's pushing it as well. But see again,
But what they're saying is, see, this is what bothers me about these two ladies. What they're saying is that the government, the jury gave in to the mob thing.
Now, which mob are we talking about? The mob from January 6th? Or the, you know, because they got their own mob too.
Here's the thing.
And again, history. When the OJ jury was made up, first thing out of everybody's mouth, oh, this is gonna hurt OJ because it's a mainly black woman jury, and they're going to be upset with him. Because he's married to a weak woman.
Them sisters saved his ass.
No quicker than literally half hour after that verdict came out. Those black bitches.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
They saved his bacon.
That's a race. But see, that's what a race. You know, as a person smarter than me once said, that's what a race war looks like.
It's funny you guys brought up.
I've been thinking about this all day.
Yeah. Well, look, it's
how can 3% of the population of Minnesota make up 45% of the crime rate of Minnesota? How's that happen?
That's being black
in America.
Yeah.
Hello.
White supremacy, Gary.
You ain't shitting.
But you also have the same concept as San Francisco. San Francisco is 6% black.
This is a U.S. problem.
You know.
Yeah,
6% of the population of San Francisco is African American. They make up 50% of the jails in San Francisco. Come on, man, stop it. South Africa.
90% of the population is white. The other 10% is black. But who has all the power, and who are the guys going to jail?
Hello.
You know,
I understand, of course.
But see, unfortunately, that's the reality. Now, cause see, here's what's so funny to me. What white people fear the most is us waking up one morning and going out and killing basically every white person from here, from sea to shining sea.
Mm-hmm.
And has that happened? No.
No.
Matter of fact, even last night, all we want, justice. That's all. Just wanted justice. That's all. And when we don't get justice, then we're told, hey, you need to calm down.
Mm-hmm. You know, that guilt's a powerful thing.
But see, the constant in all of this is us getting killed.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, that's not even with or without that verdict, that's not going to stop.
That's not going to stop.
Now, of course, right about now, another black person would say, what about black-on-black crime? And white people don't kill each other?
Yep.
Hello.
And there's
Hello.
More of them?
They Come love on. That. They love spouting that noise. Let me say this, because people are forgetting something here that's pivotal to what we're talking about. This was an anti-black crime. Dante Wright, his murder, is an anti-black crime. Because there was no other recourse. If we're talking similar situations with white people in it, they're not going to get shot at. They're not going to get choked to death. This has been an anti-black situation since the Constitution wrote that five black people were equal to three white ones. Make no bones about it. I'm not speaking in terms of hyperbole either. I'm saying simply that there is a long-standing resentment that has manifested into out-and-out hate in some degrees. And every time there's a step forward, two steps are taken back. Whether it was civil rights, whether it was voting rights, whether it was housing rights, anything like that, they always work the game to try to take something back for the perceived gain that was put forward.
What the OJ Trump is about.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Small guy, end of the day, he's small potatoes. This started when I get it, Gary. But see, don't sully, don't get so caught up in Trump that you don't, that you miss the big picture. I understand the whole thing. But Trump, end of the day, Trump is small potatoes here. Because this was starting, this is so much bigger than Donald Trump. We give him, the more we even acknowledge him, you give him way too much more power than he deserves.
Exactly.
And especially in this instance, here's the thing.
Here's a sidebar.
All the hashtags and all the names that we've known from history, those are the ones that we know of. Think of all the nameless men and women who are no longer with us who didn't get this kind of thing.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. We get sidetracked with that because they want to jump on this because they're so obvious about what happened. We said, when this shit happened, that was going to be vitally important to protect that young girl who shot that video. And that turned out to be the crux of the case. That was the killer blow that took any argument away from them about possibly this guy getting off. Now, to add insult to injury, Brett Favre and his dumb Bama ass had the nerve to say that, oh, he didn't think Chauvin meant to kill the guy. Oh, yeah, paid no attention to that guy whose hands around his neck for 9 fucking minutes. He didn't mean to kill him. There's a good reason that he said that because he's not going back out on that field. Because if he did go back out on that field, they would beat him beyond the white meat. Just think what they did to Drew Brees, and he didn't say anything even remotely close to that. But an interesting sidebar came off of this. And it has to do with the woman who I thought should have been Vice President, Val Demings. Demings was a cop. I mean cop from the beginning until she got into management and became captain, whatever it is, stations thereafter. She got in the ass of Jim Jordan, and the convoluted news network picked it up. Now, you know, nobody in Congress has called somebody a motherfucker yet, at least not on camera. I appreciate that Val went as far as she did because she was sitting there.
I served as a law enforcement officer for 27 years. It is a tough job. And good police officers deserve your support. You know, it's interesting to see my colleagues on the other side of the aisle support the police when it is politically convenient to do so. Law enforcement officers risk their lives every day. They deserve better, and the American people deserve. I have the floor, Mr. Jordan. Did I strike
the
a nerve?
Law enforcement officers deserve better
than to be utilized as pawns. You and your colleagues are ashamed of yourself.
The gentlelady will suspend, and the clock will be stopped. I want to admonish members. They must not interrupt someone who has the time.
Mr. Chairman, can I
have a question? You simply can't shout out. If you think that someone is saying...
I agree.
Mr. Jordan, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You know nothing about what law enforcement officers
I know about my motive.
And you're using them as pawns because it serves ridiculous political purpose.
Now, everyone must suspend. I am making the point. No one may shout out when someone else has the time. Not Mr. Gohmert.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Not Mr. Jordan. Nobody.
Not Mr. Cicilline.
Not Miss
Deming.
Didn't do that. that nobody did.
Not Mr. Jordan.
Not Mr. Nobody. Okay, nobody. I agree with that. But
then how do we... Everybody... I have a question.
I will simply... There is no
question.
Nobody may shout out.
When you give
you see,
a speech, Mr. Chairman, about motives and questioning motives, and then our motives are questioned, how do we address that?
The rules allow a request words
of inquiry.
I have watched them live and die, and you know nothing about that. And to utilize them as political pawns.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of inquiry. Mr. Chairman,
the rules do not permit shouting out when someone else has the time. The only thing you may do when someone else has the time is you may raise a point of order if you think it proper, and we will, and the chair will then rule on the
point of
order.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
The general will state his point of order.
So you gave us a lecture on people questioning our motives. When someone questions our motives, how do we address it when they're in the act
that
of questioning our motives?
That is not a point of order.
Yes, it is.
That is not a point
Mr.
of
Chairman,
order.
Mr. Chairman, may I continue, please?
That is not a point of order. Ms. Demings has the time. And the clock will resume. Gentle ladies, recognize.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to hear that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are on the side of law enforcement now. Because I don't know where my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been over the last 4 years, including on January 6th, when police officers who protect us every day were fighting for their lives because of the big lie that was told. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle were silent. As one person after another person took the microphone and said, go down there and engage in combat. Fight like hell. They used the bicycle racks as deadly missiles against the law enforcement officers that you all say you care about so much. And thank you, Mr. Cicilline, because you're absolutely right. The only person who voted to support local government and pass legislation to support local governments that includes law enforcement were the Democratic members on this side of the aisle. But now today, you support law enforcement. Well, that's, I'm delighted to know that. But don't support them when it's politically convenient for you to do so. Support them when they're under attack by people fighting them and spraying them and knocking them to the ground and beating them with poles, with carrying the American flags and pipes.
Republicans have been consistent. The gentlelady from Florida said Republicans care about law enforcement today. We've cared about law enforcement all the time. It's been the Democrats. We condemned the violence on January 6th, and we condemned it last summer. It'd have been nice if our colleagues on the other side had done the same. All last summer, when police were being pelted with frozen water bottles, bricks, and beat up, where were they? They were raising bail money to bail out the rioters and looters who were doing those very actions to the police. And today we get a lecture about how we haven't been consistent? You got to be kidding me. We've been consistent. You guys haven't, and you know it. That's why you're so. That's why you're all so fired up.
See, this is the bullshit that happens when your tax dollars are supposed to be at work. Now, the reason why I wanted Demings as opposed to that pandering Kamala Harris is because that's exactly what she does. She would have gave it some lip service, but it would have been more or less giving somebody a blowjob instead of a con job. Val Demings has worked a beat. Val Demings has put on and strapped on, and she went up the ranks for 27 years. She's no nonsense. And everything she said about cops is true. And we don't have an argument with that. Yes, cops have dangerous jobs. You want cops to be all right? Get the bad guys, go home? Just don't abuse your fucking power. And yet, we know that there are people who pander off of this, and she said it exactly right. They made pawns out of this. I got Reggie and the professor with me. Reggie, guys, I don't know how much of y'all heard that, but how do you digest what Val says in comparison to somebody like Kamala Harris?
You know, whether we like it or not, Mike, these are the cards that we are dealt. I mean, one thing I give Republican credit, and Professor and I have talked about this until we both got blue in the face. Republicans fall in line. The Democrats fall in love. Yep. There's nothing wrong with diversity, but when you got a piece of shit Congress representative from West Virginia that thinks he's God now in the Senate and think he can hold everything up, why? Because they had the Southern Poverty Law Center, which Morris Digger was a part of, that been talking about white supremacy racism. But when you have the Heritage Foundation, which is kicking the Democrats' ass, they are swift voting. The Harris Foundation is a conservative group that makes sure that talking points are right in line from the media, from the radio, from news print. They make sure that they have already talked about identity politics. They make sure they're talking about cancel culture. And what the fuck the Democrats are doing? They're standing around, running around, trying to catch their fucking tails. You know, I know Cuss is going to like more on this, but whether we like it or not, Republicans know how to play the game. They know how to do the word association. When they came out with defund the police, Democrats had their thumbs stuck up their ass because as soon as they heard that, what they do? They ran ads something about, hello, I need 911. I'm sorry, because we're defunded. Nobody's there to take
the
call.
I remember that.
And again,
Professor,
when you had, I just say real quick, when you have simpletons on the Democrat side that cannot even put two fucking sentences together in order to get the American people excited, this is what you get. Now let the professor
roll. You're right. I apologize, Riz. I wasn't trying to cut you off, but I thought you were done. Professor, you want some of this?
No, I'm cool.
Okay.
So now I got to follow a liberal.
I'll say
liberal leaning independent. Well, I only heard a little bit of what you were playing, but I think I got the gist of it. And Marcus, they right. Marcus, they down. That I said this. Reggie's right. Reggie
oh, Lord
correct.
Have mercy.
Okay.
Hold it. I need to get up off the floor. Oh, my God.
but I've told you, you know, this, you know, one of my reasons of becoming a Republican was the fact that my parents were Republican, because in the South, prior to the 60s, you could not legally be a member of the Democrat Party. I don't care how you vote. The only thing you could vote for legally was president, because even though it's a partisan election, the presidential ballot is separate from the rest of the ballot, and they cannot refuse. Matter of fact, you can't refuse a person. Having said that, you know, my parents fell for the party of Lincoln, you know, like a lot of other people did, and I understand that. I mean, I've long ago forgiven them for that. But the other thing was, I thought we needed somebody on both sides, not necessarily to do anything, but to know what they're talking about.
I feel you.
You know, I tried years ago telling our local Democrats, you know, you all need to look at it this way or look at certain things that way. They run back to their bosses and go, should we listen to this or should we see it this way or that way? And they would say no.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, it's just like when you go to these meetings, there's always just one or two white guys and there's one or two black guys. We know who sold us out at these Democrat meetings or things of conscience in the black community.
Right.
You've had that. They have their people in these meetings. And having said that, we don't ever have anybody at the table or at the meeting just even because it's not a matter of having the power to do anything, but the biggest thing is knowledge. And we will, you know, what did I say about Clinton? Clinton didn't have to win because Clinton already is a member of the country club.
Right.
She don't have to, you know, and because of that, win or lose, she don't get the position. She still already got her key to the country club. So who cares?
She got papers.
Professor, real quick, she was a Goldwater girl in her 20s. Her and Bill Clinton both worked for Barry Goldwater campaign.
Right. Well, like I said, she got papers. She
actually, they worked for the 72 Nixon campaign to reelect him when they were both here in jail.
Right on the Republican side.
And her dad basically was one of the, you know, big Chicago Republicans. And oh, by the way, there was a certain guy that wound up getting Mr. Clinton's old job. I can't remember his name. I think he's married to a fine ass lady named Michelle.
Okay, straight up foul.
Are you saying the brother from Chicago? You talking the brother from Chicago?
I'm not talking about Tariq Cohen. Let's just put it that way.
I know that's right.
Well, this is where we've sold ourselves for rock and roll and for the and all that stuff I would come and tell people, you know, we would have our community meetings locally or even regionally, and you know, I would say, okay, this is, I went to, you know, I don't know what they're doing over there, but we ready for them. I'm sitting there thinking, asshole, you ain't ready for nothing. You don't even know what they're doing. And I try to tell them what to do. They wouldn't do that to us, you know, because, you know, and my favorite was, we had a guy here named Locke Faircloth who eventually changed his party from Democrat to Republican. We had a guy named John Keefe who changed, and John Keefe, bless his heart, he did so much for Federal State. I mean, he supplied them their football uniforms 1 year on a handshake because they needed new uniforms that worked on a handshake. Mm-hmm. He said, well, if they don't pay me, Dr. Bell, who would help put Florida football on the map, he hired Jim Gates, all that kind of stuff. They did this on a handshake. Starch Republican, starch Democrat. He did it on a handshake. And do you realize every time that man ran as a Republican, he lost? And he said in the paper, I'm going to run as a Democrat just to see what happened. He ran as a Democrat. He won going away. But as soon as he would change his party, and it didn't matter how he voted, as long as he was a Democrat. And when he changed his party back, these Negroes turned on him, you know, like he was an alligator. And, you know, I mean, they just turned on him. They forgot all the good he had done. And see, he was one of those cats who, when different churches were doing things, he would help them out, all kind of stuff. I don't know how he made no money other than the fact his wife was a rich lady from France that he met during his tour of duty in Germany. But anyway, these ignorant Negroes would turn their back on him, although at certain times, you know, he did stuff for them that, even their quote-unquote Democrat friends, not only wouldn't help them at all. But see, they thought they had the good old boys, and the good old boys, you know, I went to numerous meetings, and since the guy Locke Faircloth, this is a man, he was a crook all kinds of ways. Plus, he was a Democrat until he had a fall. He got beat in the primary, then he changed his party. What it ended up happening. Yeah. Anyway.
Like Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But he would have these meetings. They would have these meetings and these banquets and these fundraisers and this kind of stuff that I would go to. You know, I mean, one night I was on the finance committee. And, you know, they deal everything in checks anyway. So I'm going through the stack of checks, and I see, you know, here's Reggie's check. I see here's T-Mac's check. You know, all these big-time Democrats supporting this dude who's in the Republican Party. The sitting sheriff who is we have never had a Republican, a true registered Republican as a sheriff here. The sitting sheriff is at a Locke Faircloth event. And somebody mentioned it to him, oh, we've been friends a long time.
This ain't about politics. This is about friendship. Okay, $1,000 a table. Man, they will give, instead of giving just $8,000, they will give $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. The sitting county commissioner and his wife and his sister-in-law and her husband, who used to work with me, they're there too. So, hey, Cub, hey, man, guess what? That was a $2,500 table check.
They work in the room.
It's for them. Mr. and Mrs. check. You know, just do the math, $2,500 a piece times four.
Mm-hmm.
They gave this man $10,000.
Yeah.
And go to the Democrat water hole or the political water hole, and they in all these big time Democrats laughing about how much money they gave. Well, you know, they just had a little extra cash laying around. And Negro, you know, and being in the, you know, we used to have these convenience stores that is like BP's or Time Saver or whatever. I think it was called the Pantry at the time. You know. The two sisters these guys were married to, their brother was, they owned it, but their brother ran it. They had like 85, 90 stores across eastern North Carolina, right? Cash cows.
So
when they say they had, you know, they had a couple of thousand laying around and thought they'd give them a little mm-hmm. something, help them along. And see, see, those are the kind of things that get such good things, you little favor, like, you know, you get these, you know, like now will be, I got a cell number, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fred, I can appreciate the facetiousness of all that you're bringing up. But my point is now that all this has happened, and now you've seen people show their colors in terms of exposing what size they are, I mean, I know we've all played. And there were people that we played against that we did not like, and we were waiting for that one time we can get that shot on that ass. But what's it like, guys, when you come in and you know somebody is to the right of Attila the Hun, or you know they don't like black folks, or you know whatever the situation is, it gives you more of an incentive to knock the shit out of them if the opportunity arrives. Now, Brett said it when he said it, because he knows he ain't going back in there. Because I know there would be a target on his melanin challenge ass if he was in a huddle. What say y'all?
I agree.
You're right.
Yeah.
I would like that perfect setup. If you remember in the Super Bowl when Derek Winston called Hollywood Henderson on that punt, I think it was a kickoff or a punt return.
It was a kickoff return. Yes.
And he got his head just in front of him, so it wasn't a clip, but he
mm-hmm.
leveled him. That's,
yep.
I call it a kilo hit. That's why I be looking
yep.
for a kilo.
Right between the five and the six.
Mm-hmm. His head was in front of him. His shoulder went straight through his head.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's the kind of impact that this whole thing has left, because nothing's been solved. You gave up one, and Gary hit it right. You threw us a cookie. You know, there'll be crumbs from George Floyd and his body laid out for years. And whatever legislation it may or may not cause, it will still be anathema
Michael,
to the fact
Michael,
that his
why
ass
I mean,
was choked to death
I mean,
with some
Michael
bullshit.
1968. He was a cookie.
Yep.
That was an equal right. So, and I need to try to get another cookie, right?
Right.
If he can't do it, they will never give us a whole box.
No.
Never
get
a whole
That's
box.
Right.
They'll give you
a whole box.
They'll give you the box. They just take all the cookies out of it.
Mm-hmm. Look, we can't ignore the fact. Gary, we can't ignore the fact that the reason we got the decision we got was a case of history repeating itself. The whole world was watching. I mean, literally, the whole world was watching. when we were all kids in the 60s and some people saw the dogs and the hoses and all that, they had empathy for us, but it wasn't everybody. You know, those magazines or wherever those things went, those images went, some people said, yeah, okay. This was one time that literally the whole fucking world was watching. My people in Germany, my people in Canada, my people everywhere, in Costa Rica, everywhere. They saw this shit. They saw them get choked the fuck to death.
All because that little girl, that little teenager,
that's right,
the teenager lady,
that brave little sister, that brave little sister held up, because I was fearful for her, because she had the only incontrovertible piece of evidence that put that motherfucker in jail. They could have talked their way out of anything else, but that video spoke volumes. And that smirk on his face as he was choking the shit out of George Floyd was nothing but his little Napoleonic dick getting hard over the fact that he was bringing down this big black buck. And I
see, you know, this idiot did it again a month earlier. Did exactly the same thing 3 months earlier.
Yeah, he did. And Gary, this is what bothers me most. What happened with Chauvin and what happened with this bitch who shot this kid when she was saying taser, 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 it's no accident. I'm speculating here, and this is my opinion only. That bitch was showing somebody how to kill someone and say it was an accident. That was her real training point.
Because think about it. Whenever someone has used the taser, when have they broadcast it? When have they said taser, taser, taser?
I've never heard somebody say taser, taser, taser. No, fuck that.
Take it a step further. Okay. You think that's bad. Remember, she was at some point she was a training officer.
That's right.
Where them fools she trained?
There you go. That's right.
Because she can't tell the difference between a 32, 33 ounce, Glock weighs almost 2 pounds.
Yeah.
A taser weighs like less than half, about a little over half a pound.
Exactly.
Now remember, you reach for your taser to, she's right-handed. She reached to her left, she should have reached to her left side to find her taser. You would have had to pop this thing and pull it out.
Thank you, Fred. All of that, plus the fact that whatever they want to talk about, times to do shit, she had the gun out in front of her. She saw that black gun face. There's no fucking way she couldn't say she didn't know what the fuck she was doing.
Tasers are always black.
They're always orange or yellow or neon or some shit like that.
How you saying the 16-year-old girl to get 4 bullets in her chest? Where's the taser then? Up in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he didn't bother with the taser.
No, he didn't bother with the taser. That was just straight out murder.
Yeah.
And the kid in Chicago
and
had his hands free.
To be honest with you, there is no difference between this and this, because, like I said, the two words you have to remember. I'm no lawyer. I don't try to play one on TV or radio. Plausible deniability.
That's right.
That's the main thing. Thing is, that tape was irrefutable. There was no way around that. See, the reason why she's never going to do a day in jail is they're going to pound on the fact that she yelled taser, taser, taser. And see, that
goes
back to what Fred said, because.
So her being incompetent is going to get off too. Because she shows she's incompetent. 26 years old.
You are trained to put the taser on your weak side. And you're trained to put it on backwards.
Again, incompetent.
This is what makes
no
it work. Okay,
I'm totally with you, Gary. I'm totally with all you all about that. But let me go back to what I just said. She was a training officer. There are a myriad of dumbass cops out there that she trained somewhere.
That's right.
Who got guns. If she don't know the difference between one and see, it's just like in the bank. They don't teach you in the bank. They teach you to count money and to feel what real money feels like. So when a bad bill comes through, you can feel the difference.
Right.
They don't bother to, you know, feeling the fakes. They want you to feel what real money feels like. It, whether it's old dollar, new dollar, you can tell this is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Now she's going out. And now she, okay. She's been the training officer. She has taught all these people that's on the force. At some point in time, she has this. Let's put it like this: there's a group of people on the force that she trained, who now I would envision that they don't know the difference between on site or in or weight, the difference between picking up a Glock or picking up a taser. And if nothing else, metal,
that's,
you know,
scary.
You want to pick up metal. Metal and plastic don't feel the same. We got like a 20, almost a 20-ounce difference in how much these things weigh. They don't feel the same. They should be at least, what, 12? Even if she's a little skinny, from looking at her head, I know she's not no 24 in the waist. So let's just go with
they're still
at least roughly. This should be at least what 12 inches from where the pistol was supposed to be on her hip.
Yep.
And the taser is at least a foot away on the other side of her body.
All I'm saying, Fred.
I'm with you,
Fred. All I'm saying is that they'll talk about stressful second situations where decisions have to be made. She knew when she drew that gun, she saw the black body of the Glock. She saw it. There's no way she can't say she didn't see it. You don't say taser, 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 and know you're going to pull your Glock out and bust a cap in someone. This was an execution. And there are cops in certain localities who will do this as a primer to show someone how to do the same thing and get away with it. Let's not pretend these guys are all Joe Guy and he's, you know, the beat cop and he's getting an apple from the grocer every now and then. No, some of these motherfuckers are sadists. And they come from that slave catcher mentality. And this bitch did no different than what that bitch Betty Shelby did out in Oklahoma. As a matter of fact, she got away. She ran out of there like a fucking thief after that case proved her not guilty. And now she's training people how to kill folks elsewhere. This bitch did the same fucking thing. And I'm curious as to what they're thinking now that this kid has gotten, now that this brother got off, now he rest in peace. But now with Dante Wright, how are they going to do this? She knows her ass is behind the eight ball, and her union is going to have to do a whole lot of convoluted explaining and spinning to try to justify her doing what she did. It's no fucking tragic accident. But Mike, real quick,
plan is always to criminal. Because see, what was their whole thing during this Floyd trial was to make him out
demonized.
They wanted him to be the devil incarnate. And then when they couldn't do that, well, he was a druggie. Well, he had a bad heart condition. Well,
Don't forget the drug fight.
Here's the thing. They tried to make this the George Floyd trial.
Yes.
But it wound up being the Derek Chauvin trial. And basically, that's what's going to wind up happening here, even with everyone watching here. Because, see, now, that was their warning shot. We're watching.
That's right.
And I find it interesting the U.S. government, you know, I guess came in there today. But, see, again, a lot of it goes back to what your girl said on the tape. Oh, they're there now because it's like, okay, now we can go in. You know,
they should
have gone in there years ago.
Let's not forget the cop in Buffalo who recently got her pension instated. And she, back in, 2006, was dealing with this Barry Goldwater Klan servitor that hit a woman in the mouth. Now, that tell you what kind of piece of shit he is to strike a woman.
Yep.
And the poor victim say, she saved my life. Now, all of a sudden, after 15 years, they want to give her a pension back. You know, I mean, come on, this wrong should have been done a long time ago. It should have righted this wrong.
That's the part of the defund the police thing that people are talking about. Because, see, when they come, when they say it, they say, oh, you're going to get rid of police? No. You're going to try to make it so that the town of Ferguson, Missouri, doesn't have the same kind of weapons as the Third fucking Reich had.
There you go. Yeah, that's essentially it. And when we think about all of that in the big picture, this is why this bitch Potter needs to be nervous, because the same video that helped to convict this son of a bitch will also convict her. She can't explain taking a gun out and seeing the black of it. She can't She can't explain taking a safety off of it. She knew exactly what she was doing, just as Betty Shelby knew what she was doing. And now all of that's going to come out, and it's fucked up that Dante Wright had to be sacrificed to that. But that shit is going to put motherfuckers to a halt, because they will eventually tap that pension. And cops, I don't give a fuck what kind of stripe they are ethnically, they don't want that money coming out that pocket. Once that pension starts getting tapped, then you're going to see some law and order, because they ain't going to afford it. They can't afford it. Everybody will back the fuck up collectively.
And Mike,
you want to see some order to the law.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I want to piggyback on what you were saying a little bit, we're all relatively in the same age group here.
Exactly.
Now, we were all fed images of, forgetting the names here.
The hoses and the dogs, yeah, all that.
Well, no, not so much that. I mean, I'm talking more about the police images and stuff. You know, the Adam 12s of the world, the Joe Fridays of the world. We were looked upon as, put it this way, a totally unrealistic depiction, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not even going to get into, Andy Griffith and Barney Fife, because, they were in the middle of North Carolina at the height of the civil rights movement, and there were no black people in there. But again, I
beg your pardon. There were three. Thank you.
Yeah, three black men on 8-hour shifts, Fred. I get it.
Let's keep it 100. There were three black men, one black adult and two black children that I ever saw, and I've seen just about every episode, and there's over 100 of them. Now go ahead.
Mm-hmm. but still, it's unrealistic. Absolutely unrealistic. And that's the thing. They are still trying to sort of perpetuate that. And again, look, we know that there are good. We know the quote unquote good cops out there and what have you.
Yep.
At my church we have one of our elders.
Some of them are in my family.
Exactly. But see, that's not enough. The good cops doesn't cut it enough for us to still not fear for our lives.
Thank you.
You know?
I'll say that any day.
When Green was across the nation, out white supremacists, out Proud Boys in their ranks, you can't beat anything.
But you know, Gary, we knew that, Gary. The nature of Proud Boys and the nature of any white supremacist being in a police situation, that's been constant. They may not have had the same label on it, but we knew what they were. They showed us what
called,
they were.
It was called a Klan on the police force.
Yeah.
And see, the other scary part, and again, to piggyback on Fred, in regards to the people that she trained, you got to remember, a lot of these forces where these rogue guys are guys who even the fucking military wanted no part of.
That's right. Lower standards. That's what got Tamir Rice killed. You know, they picked a guy who was a fucking incompetent, and they knew it. And all they did was let him go, just like a Catholic priest who had fucked up kids and fondled them and had sexual shit with them. They moved them somewhere else.
Exactly. Because, see, again, it's the whole thing of plausible deniability, but also that whole godlike, you know, the white man's burden deal, where you look at them as an authoritarian figure, and they want to be above reproach, bigger than life, bigger than God, so whenever you try to, you know, say, wait a minute, he did something wrong. No, he didn't. Officer Dan would never do that.
It wasn't that bad.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Listen, the last poets had it right.
It's just like the old saying, oh, it was just a bunch of good old boys having a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
But
no,
I read
that. Yeah. But my question is, what do we do about it? Here's my question. What do we do about it?
We remain, Vincey, as I said at the beginning, Reg.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we have to take, as much as I hate to use a sports metaphor, we have to take coach's mentality in regards to this. We'll, quote, unquote, enjoy this for so many hours, and then it's time to go back into soldier mode.
Back to the bunker mentality.
Yeah.
It's like the night when
Obama won his first election, when he became president. It was like, okay, we'll enjoy this, we'll laugh, we'll cry, but come the next morning,
you gotta go back to work.
We gotta hunker down even more so now.
But the sad part about it, guys, when you got, again, I go back to what we said earlier, the Congressional Black Caucus right now has been missing in action. I mean, it seems like black females are the only ones that stand up.
Here's the thing, Reg.
Yeah.
What's been the constant before, during, and after the Black Caucus?
Tell me.
We're still getting killed.
So fuck them. What I'm basically saying is
we give them more power than they deserve, because there comes a time when you say shit or get off the pot. If they're just there, I look at them no differently than I look at Reverend Al.
You got James Clyburn like that. Cutting deals. When I get pissed off, when I see somebody like James Clyburn, who never really stood up, and he's fucking cutting deals behind the scenes, as soon as black people came out and voted, he told everybody, y'all need to stand the fuck down.
Reg, you know what I would tell you? If you're still waiting on him to have that moral compass.
Oh, no. I'm calling his ass up.
There comes a time when even calling them out or whatever, they're exposing themselves. There comes a time when we have to take the fucking bull by the horns we could sit around and bitch and moan about it, but there's come the time when you got to just react and mobilize.
I understand, Lord knows
we're all old enough here to understand the you know that whole thing, you know. Unfortunately, there are more Adam Clayton. There's not enough Adam Clayton Powells, and wait,
Amanda Jackson, Charles Jackson.
Now we have a few, and we have a few, and we must cherish what they do and whatever. But I don't want us to get so caught up in worrying about obstacles as opposed to worrying about our strength.
Here's my question. You had Keith Ellis that stood up like a man and handled his business. But yet, the fucking Democrat Party, when it came to him being in charge of the Democrat Party, Obama and his cronies said, we can't have that Muslim, the white folks want to
tell them. You know what? You tell them to kiss the fattest part of your ass and you do what
Amen.
You
That's
do.
Right.
Yeah, see,
Amen.
Because look, you know.
You know I'm inside of me.
Look, full disclosure. When I first registered, I was a Democrat. And then after a while, it's like, what the fuck are they doing? I just assume being independent because left wing. What do we say, Mike? Left wing, white wing,
right wing.
That same dirty bird. That's right.
Yeah.
That bird is fucked.
Same bird.
Same dirty bird. That's right.
Yeah.
I tell you, what did for me was 1984.
I know Professor is doing this.
And the way they treated Reverend Jesse Jackson, I was appalled. I will never be a Democrat ever again. As they see in San Francisco.
Let's keep it 100. Jesse Jackson was full of shit. I don't care what the motherfucker said. He was as real as a $3 bill.
Martin Luther King is what Jesse did to help it off him. A lot of people say that Jesse had a lot to do with old Dr. King making that final passage. Oh, I want to say
I think he did. Let me say allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, but I'm vibing. Patrick Frost in the house, too. Patrick, can you hear me?
What's up?
Vibing, let me come.
Mike, it was very, very telling watching America's Lawyer. It was very interesting to watch America's
Trump,
Lawyer.
I mean, Trump.
I'll go with the first one. But it was very interesting. In between the fact that he basically put the entire Floyd family up there to say something, it was very interesting to see Jesse in the background in the state that he is in. You know, I don't know if too many people wondering. Jesse
he's in bad state.
No, he has a Parkinson's.
I know. He knew where he was. He might not even know where he was.
Well, put it this way, Mike. What was that thing you always say about karma? Karma may never
sometimes, but she
karma
always keeps her appointment.
Karma's a bitch.
She does.
I agree with Reggie. The CBC is just the nation's version of the Morris Smith and the Invisible Men. And the white man has a God complex. But having said let's take this out of America. And wait a minute, we're getting a bulletin from Japan.
Oh Lord. What's the bulletin?
It's taking a long way around sometimes. See,
really?
Anytime you set something up, it's supposed to happen right then and there. This is like ghetto radio, y'all. Please bear with us.
Damn, son. You sound like the Democratic Party.
Anyway,
I tell you, gentlemen, science has agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth will be extinct within a year. I repeat, stay in your homes. Your personal safety, the safety of the entire city, depends upon your full cooperation with the military authorities.
Yes, cities, nations, even civilization itself, threatened with annihilation because in one moment of history-making violence, nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. For born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous, there is no word to describe them.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true, and there shall be destruction and darkness come up in creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
Yes, the earth, the skies above and the seas below, infested by swarms of nightmare creatures, crueler, deadlier than the armored giants of prehistoric eras. Here is a wild, headlong flight into terror as the desert erupts with the grim battle for survival. Here is a fear-frenzied moment of suspense as mankind totters before a thing that multiplies faster than it can be killed. Here is a desperate plunge into the black depths of the earth where human courage challenges the brute force, the slashing jaws, the poison fangs that guard the subterranean nest where the beast spawns its terrible progeny.
To all units. To all units. Condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat. Condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. We can't take a chance. It might poison the whole city.
In Japan, the Summer Olympic Games are supposed to start in July. However, there may be a problem. Now, we all grew up in the era where the 50s, people were starting to understand the malefacts of atomic radiation on our ass. And the little garden darlings that would be the big-ass ants in them were theorized to be of atomic radiation. Now, with the Summer Olympics coming up, the Fukushima accident where earthquakes caused the reactor to fuck up and had the system go China syndrome to the point where, although this happened in 2011, that area is still upset and affected by it. That shit doesn't biodegrade. If you learned anything from elementary science, you know that when something atomic or nuclear explodes or is somehow disrupted, the elements within it are always affected, and they don't biodegrade away in the same even manner. You got things like strontium-90, carbon-14, cesium-137, uranium-235 with the 238 and plutonium. All of that shit is there, and in Fukushima, that stuff is affected, and water, because it's protecting the reactor, is also affected. Now, I got information from a soul patroller, and she referred to us and said that Fukushima is roughly 250 clicks away from Tokyo. Now, the plant is near Nagano, we've had Olympics before. But yet, in spite of the fact that in 2020 they had the Olympic trials and the team is out, they're going to try to convince everybody that the environment is safe. Now, we have all been athletic to some degree. We even have a couple of kids who are athletes. But if we all made the team, would you go to Japan knowing what happened in 2011 at Fukushima?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And let's reiterate, no.
So
they've seen what the NFL can
do. So,
see,
I think there's a no, you won't go, right, T? That's a no,
Reggie?
I'll say maybe.
Well, let's remember, hey, NBC make sure you bought the rights.
Don't eat the food there either. You know that's messed up.
NBC bought the rights for the next four Olympic Games. And we know that they were expecting big money out of Japan. Now, Japan has seen what the NFL did and everybody else did in trying to salvage and make money. It would be impossible to think that you could go over there and get away with a clean performance knowing that the area, I mean, remember, Chernobyl had an accident too. And look what happened to that area. I'm not saying it might be as bad as what Chernobyl was, but nobody's living in Chernobyl. Anybody who was living there, they ain't living there now. So Fukushima, in spite of almost 10 years now, there's no way that that water has biodegraded. Matter of fact, they're going to release that because they have no choice. How could you be in an environment where you've poisoned not just your own water source, but your food source and everything that goes with it? Our colleague Rhonda Harper has told us from surfing that, yeah, she wouldn't dare try to eat sushi now because of the overall effects of it. Think about that. That's some serious shit. How are you going to represent the United States when you know there's a clear and present danger that you may be exposed to something? And now he's not being honest enough to tell you. Yes.
Do it like you do everything else. We do everything else. Now make it virtual.
Yeah, that's right.
Because ain't no way I would go over there.
Yeah. You can't fix this.
And Mike, you know, this is being totally fictitious, but, you know, at least now you can see Japan because of radiation, it glows in the dark. But, you know, Chernobyl.
I know it ain't funny.
Chernobyl was
I got to write it down. You can see Japan.
Chernobyl was isolated. Chernobyl's in a place that is like Japan is out in the middle of nowhere, but you don't have those millions of people, you know, train running past, all this kind of thing.
Yep.
I don't see how it's feasible.
Yeah.
And because I know we have a young lady from here in town, well, from one of our suburbs, who is the number two 400 meter for women. You know, I don't.
Is that the young lady at North Carolina A&T?
Oh no! This lady went to Livingstone.
Oh.
Kanea Haynes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, about 10 years ago, she was barely recruited out of high school, and now
that's
she's one of the top 200 media people in the world.
That's how it goes.
Livingstone.
Think about this. All right, we're all executives on the American team. You know we have to prepare to ship over our own water and our own food if our athletes are going to perform at their very best.
Hey, Mike,
could
can
you
I ask
take
a question?
Are they
going to treat them the same way they treat the female basketball team, or is it going to be better? I'm just checking. Because they have to cut corners.
Well, no. This is a situation because we have a military presence there. They will likely use like a C-17 or two or three of them. Like you say, we're gonna have to take everything we need over there with us, It's going to be like a military, like a military move. When I go out to the corner, and there's a train leaving with all those the everything that you need is there, from ammunition to toilet paper. Everything you need is right there. Those guys packed for being in the middle of nowhere, and they have to be able to stay out there like as much as 2 to 3 weeks with no probable assistance. So they take whatever they need when they go. So that's my suggestion to everybody that's even attached to the Olympic team. Take everything you need when you want.
Okay, yeah. Brad, if you're a diver, I am not getting
in
Japanese waters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see,
now Gary doesn't have to spend that too. And Patrick, you as the TV exec, how would you suggest that NBC tiptoe through this, because they're going to have to deal with it one way or another?
So, first of all, good evening, fellas.
Good evening,
fellas. Secondly, with the amount of money they're going to spend, somebody's going to go over there somewhere and do something.
Yeah.
I've been around some Olympic athletes when I was in Ohio. So they some trained at Ohio State before they went out to Colorado. Some of these people, a lot of these athletes are so dedicated, they'll go anywhere, despite whatever it is, particularly if they've trained those years and they have any kind of sponsorship which enable them to go, they might make the trip. So maybe we wouldn't go, but I can guarantee some athletes going to go despite the hazards. And more importantly, NBC's going to make sure somebody going to go so they can keep that sponsorship money. So we're going to see what happens.
Well, the North Koreans say they ain't going. Of course, they got their own problem with their king anyway, so.
Well, they got
unified D, the North Koreans, South Koreans. Well, they say they're not, but the North Koreans say they're not going.
Okay.
And I don't think they're gonna miss folks around the world. Gonna miss them no way. So.
Yeah. They had this one guy who was good in martial arts, which is gonna be one of the sports this year. But you know, if he's not there, then I mean, I can't remember his name. I'm sure they won't remember it later either. So he's just one person.
The amount of water that was compromised by the radiation was equivalent to at least 100 swimming pools worth of water. It was 400. But the whole point is this water is tainted, and it won't untaint. They can't clean it.
Well,
they can't bleach it. They can't do anything like that. So their shit stuck with this.
Mike, I think Fred is on the head. If the United States people are gone, there'll be plenty of compensation from the sponsors and various people to make sure that the athletes from the United States will definitely be have their own facilities to do and supply what they want to do. I'd worry about most just as important as that. Everybody got them COVID shots. That's
what I'm going to have. Somebody COVID,
They're not allowing outside fans in.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Well, they can't. Look this way. They can't be Roger Goodell and be like, we expect full houses and all games. You're not going to get that. Unless you're going to have accompanying morgues at each site.
Hey, I got a question, guys. How much FanDuel going to play into all this?
they'll have
something. Well, you know what? They'll get something in there because there'll be games like the women's and men's basketball. There'll be other things where they'll be getting
hockey.
Action. It's not a question.
Hockey's winning.
Hockey's winning. There may be soccer, but the long and short of it is they've already decided which aspects of prop bets and bets for sports they can use on this. So
yeah,
don't think they haven't.
Reggie, they had those
logarithms figured out in 2020. All they're waiting on is for the games to begin so they can open up the betting window.
Although Mike, because I mean I don't know how much action Olympic sports gets. I mean, like you said, the basketball and the whatever. is Joey the Finger really gonna be betting on water polo?
Yeah,
especially you never play Washington. He might be bloody water, right?
He won't be betting on water polo, but he will be betting on soccer.
Matter of fact, the other event they're going to bet on, which is the second most popular event outside of track, is gymnastics.
Matter of fact,
Mike, I have it straight from the Finger that his wife, Lady Fingers, will also be betting on this as well.
How much action you putting down?
In the words of a smarter man from me in a very old movie, if his mama called him a Lady Fingers, I'm gonna call her Lady Fingers. So
that's right. Well, actually, we spotted Miss Lady Fingers going out, and this is what happened.
You must have the under rather than the over.
Yes, you did.
Hey, Mike, that's not the New York Knicks bet. I'm betting on the Knicks.
Get me in Kenny.
Okay, we get the picture, Mike. Get it. Hell. Somebody put a gun to it. Shoot that thing. Lord, man. Did anybody have any ears about it? Lord. Right. Woo. Awesome, Mike. Okay, awesome. He did.
That's
enough. Lord,
that's
enough.
One of the family for Missidai. An ant. I don't believe it. It's not possible.
Now we got an athlete commercial.
Mike, the NFL Network goes a hell of a way to promote the draft, do they not?
Say, Mike,
speaking of football, Mike, got a question for Fred and for Rich. Did y'all hear the interview of the week by the Alabama State coach, Cornell Maynard, about the Jackson State?
Yeah, Professor, I tell you, that's Cornell Maynard being Cornell Maynard. And his idol is Rick Flair.
that made my week in sports. Because that brother act like he just came up to the gym and said, you're playing a pickup game of basketball. Okay,
yep.
I got some boys too.
Hey, Patrick, the halftime of the game, he threw the ball and hit one of the side of the goalpost, and then did his Ric Flair impression. But the brother did. He's from North Carolina, and Professor Tay by him at Winston-Salem. Conor Maynard has no desire to show that he lacks for confidence.
If he ever got out of his shell, he would really be something, you know? Wait, Tomlin said, well, do you ever want to talk to him about I talked about nothing, man. He's an enemy.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I will say this.
Patrick.
I will say this. Uh-huh.
I helped recruit that boy to Winston-Salem State. He was like that coming out of high school, and he would tell you, his thing was he had skills. Don't get me wrong, but the thing that I recognized about him was he was a winner, and he was just one of and my pick of his OC is the same way. Didn't have all the skills in the world, but he was a winner, and he don't mind telling you what he thinks. And if he knew Deion well, you think that's bad? You should hear him and the guy that coached for Alabama State. Now they go back a ways. It gets real rough between two of them.
I'm gonna tell you something. I believe, and I put this on Facebook. I believe if CBS or NBC, CBS Sports, CBS ESPN, somebody listen to that comedy. They should put that game when he played Deion on some elements on one of the platforms
definitely.
Before. That's
the game. Hey, Patrick, you remember that any given Sunday when Jamie Foxx played the quarterback? Conor Maynard was in the movie. He played the double as the quarterback.
Double, yep. Because
I'm a hell of a football player too. Won a lot of championships.
Yeah, but see, you know, the thing is though, he's got to get out of that shyness thing. You know, he's really.
Patrick, we had a CIAA media day years ago at Virginia State, and this is when Winston first came back to the CIAA and was kicking ass to Shaw got him. During the press conference, he got up there and told everybody, look, we here to go ahead and take care of business, kick ass, take names, so many words. And he was not shy about calling everybody out saying, y'all got to take care of us because we're going to definitely take care of you. And then we laughed about it. Everybody knew between him and Tiller, both of them were great storytellers, and Professor can tell you that. Media day.
I'm mocking that. I'm marking that. That's something they should do, for real.
If you can be the program director and put that on, you get a ton of ratings.
Hey, you know what? Y'all talking about great storytellers. If we're talking about great storytellers, then you know, in another few days, I think in 8 days, the annual meeting of the Liars Club will be in effect in Cleveland.
in the NFL draft.
This is a two-parter, guys. First thing, has the NFL draft been more successful because they've made it a road show, or have they just really taken it too far in terms of trying to be showbiz and concentrate on talent? Like, how many people who drafted folks in the first round really got their money's worth and were successful in picking talent since this thing's been a road show?
Okay, Patrick, you're the expert. Help us out.
It's 50-50. Look, there's some that you're going to get right, and there's some, and most you're going to get wrong, actually.
Right.
Most going to get wrong. Based upon we know where it's going. I'm going to give you a perfect example, from my opinion, of a selection of a player. Keyshawn Johnson said something that was a profound this morning. When they have a little game talking about the draft and what happens, and someone said, "Well, what if you take Justin Fields?"
He said,
"Wait a minute. Let me explain something here on ESPN, and I'm gonna tell you like it is." All the guys here at ESPN on this station, this platform, for the last four or five weeks, all the guys who play football say, take Justin Fields. But
that's right.
The guys who ain't played at all are going to put Matt Jones ahead of Justin Fields. Anybody that does that is either my – now, on the same panel was Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark was just a new brother. Ryan Clark was just trying to hold back. He said, Keisha, let me go.
Let me repeat that.
Mm-hmm. I know he was pissed.
I don't see how anybody who's played this game, knowing how Kyle Shanahan runs his offense, and if you want somebody just to play his offense, you might take Matt Jones. But you want somebody to take your offense to the next level to be a champion in the league. I don't see how you're going to take this guy. And I want to repeat what King Sean said. Yeah, people who played the game say take Justin Fields.
Yes, it feels. Yeah.
Who hadn't played, that's just all you need to know.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, what's their favorite thing? He can't read defense. He needs to go ahead and get fast. He doesn't throw the primary receivers. I'm like, shit, here we go again.
And he's talking about half the quarterbacks in the NFL too. While you're at it,
that's exactly right.
Thank you, but they don't say nothing about that, though, do they?
Well, of course
they can talk all the analytics, and I mean analytics all they want.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The one fact that is irrefutable.
Hold on, Mike. I got to write that down, Mike. Analytics, man, for assholes. Okay. Continue, man.
That's irrefutable is one thing we all know because we all been there. Tape don't lie.
Tell me
what the fuck the tape says.
And that boy
if he's a wide
too.
Receiver, tell me does he know how to run it out of his pattern smoothly. If he's a defensive back, does he have good twitch on his hips allowing him to keep up with the line? If he's a lineman, how low is his center of gravity that makes him able to get the leverage advantage on somebody in the pit? If he's a D lineman, how well does he use his hands? Does he have martial arts background that allows him to throw people away and become a pit boss?
But
all
Mike,
these are simple fucking questions, and
hope,
they make
Mike.
It complicated with their bullshit.
But, Mike, he did a kind of sense. He kicked the Great White Hope ass during the college playoffs. How dare he?
And Reggie, he's one pass pattern that was wrong to beat them twice.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. I'll just come right out and say it.
The team
that drafts Justin Fields, mark it down. They'll make the playoffs.
Yes, they will.
They'll make the playoffs.
They will.
They will make the playoffs.
Don't be surprised. New England don't draft him. New England would love to get him.
You know what? But you know what?
Could be
it
anybody.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because see, the kid can play. And see,
that's
the,
right.
And
the,
play
the
hurt
thing,
too.
The thing,
he
the
played
thing,
hurt.
The thing now. The thing now. And you know, and to somewhat answer Mike's question. It depends on how you look at the NFL. If you look at the NFL seriously, like we do, the draft is the American Idol part of the draft, which is Thursday night, just the first round. You can't. It is the bullshitty of bullshit.
He's right. He's right.
Now, if you just look at it for trends and, you know, trying to get media hits or whatever, you probably have a boner right now thinking about what next Thursday is going to be about.
That's exactly right.
The sad thing, because see, what they basically have done now is they have the utopia. They came out today. May 18th is going to be schedule day. They're gonna on NFL Network, they're going to unveil the schedule, and that'll be an all-day
game.
The thing is, they finally that goes to my point. They finally got what they wanted. They basically have made professional football a year-round thing. The game hasn't gotten better.
No,
but they made it 24/7 about the NFL. Even Pete Rozelle in his smartest days will always say, pull it back a little bit. Now look. No matter how you may think about Pete Rozelle or whatever, Pete Rozelle will always say his biggest mistake, besides shaking Al Davis's hand for the first time,
and getting back.
I know.
Gary,
but
woke up out of sleep.
people always say, this way, Pete Rozelle will always say his biggest mistake was playing the weekend after JFK got killed.
Damn.
Always, right. He'll always say that was the biggest mistake he ever made. Other than that, he pretty much got it right. He got it right.
True.
You know, he made it so that, you know, they always had NFL films to use to basically push the game or whatever. But see, they always came back to the game. And see, that's the problem now. It's not about the game. If I sound like the old man in the mountains, so be it. And if you pay them, I'll kick your motherfucking ass. But that's another story.
Uh-oh, breaking news. We got breaking news. So, what we got, Mike?
Say, Tony, speaking that it's about the game.
Uh-oh.
Did you hear Brett Favre today?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Conservative.
You mean the Grand Wizard? Yeah, I heard you're
Grand Wizard. and it took Shannon Sharp to go off on his ass.
Oh,
Shannon said, I don't hear that. It's right and wrong. What side you on?
He got black friends, though, Patrick. Just ask him.
He got black friends.
If he had decided to play this season, he would find out how many black friends he got, because they would beat him like a runaway slave. I swear to God, they would.
Let me tell you.
Patrick, at this point in time right now, Brett Favre makes Lester Maddox look like Malcolm X. Yeah.
You ain't shit.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, we got Drew Brees on line two about Brett Favre.
Mike, Charlie Sharp said the best. There's a difference between having black friends and knowing black people.
Thank you.
There's a big difference. And that's
you
recognize.
Somebody put a meme up on Facebook.
That once he goes to the Hall of Fame meeting that they have, just Hall of Famers in July, when he gets in that room and brings that up, brother, it's going to be a different kind of conversation.
You better believe that shit. Look at here.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, what do you think about the owners paying the players 36 payments instead of 18 payments? They just
They're making more money. I explained it lengthy, but I'm not sure. But basically, they're making more money.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the fearless leader of the NFL Players Association is nowhere to be found. I'll tell you this.
Is he talking about Yogi or Boo Boo?
Exactly. Whether they had a picking basket in their hand or not.
Even Cindy can't find his ass. That's how.
If anybody thinks that DeMaurice Smith has the futures of the NFL players in the proper hand, all I can say is grits ain't groceries. Eggs ain't poultry. And you know who is a motherfucking man. But I digress.
Hey, but who did the worst? Art Shell or Where's Waldorf as far as selling players out? Who did the worst?
You mean Gene Upshaw?
You know what?
I mean Gene Upshaw, not Art Shell. God bless Gene Upshaw.
Listen, we have to give Gene Upshaw credit, because Gene said, look, we are the game. You know, whatever y'all want to say, y'all can't do it without us.
Yeah, but
right.
Gene, you know.
But Reg, in retrospect, Gene Upshaw, I mean, at least, put this way, at least you would occasionally see Gene Upshaw. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
He just showed up every now and then.
Yeah, but guys, look at the power play that they did to give Waldorf the second time around.
they intervened on their election. What kind of gangster move was that?
Well, I tell you this much.
Oh.
Here's the reality. And it's a reality that we all have to face, whether we like it or not. You're not going to get what you want. There's our steps to chip away at things, to get things, to make it palatable to where you can move forward. You're never going to get all you want against millionaires. They're only going to give up so much until they have to.
Right. Think about this. Did anybody ever think that the NFL would discover a whole new revenue stream behind just doing the damn draft in other places? You know?
And believe me, it's blowing up in Cleveland. A guy sent me his invitation about 2 hours ago. I saw him. I had to go contact my frat brother, and he sent back his invitation. But the other flip side of that is this, that we should look for next week, and I'm definitely looking for it. I told you that last year they had 600 cameras. They'll have 700 this year. How are those officers going to look when they pick the players? Who's going to be the officers, and how's it going to look? Not the players. I'm talking about the executives. How many black folks are you going to see in these offices? That's what I'm looking for. Besides the players, because they're going to zoom a lot. Because they're going to have some stuff in Cleveland. But I'm going to look at them Zoom calls because I know last year that was mentioned by Goodell, and he had to deal with that.
Yeah. And see, now they've had a year to quote unquote do it up differently and everything. So it's not going to be about football. If you really want to watch the draft, watch it on Friday and Saturday, and I don't know what your regular Thursday night viewing habits are, but I would not watch. You know, I mean, I have to watch it because of being in the profession, but if I could avoid it, I will.
And the betting lines are flying in Vegas. They're burning up.
Mhm. Hey, but Patrick, real quick, why are they trying to kill Phil's career? Because I mean, we've seen this act before, like a Shakespeare play. It's like come to a black quarterback, they get a certain one that they go after. And it's amazing, especially Kurt Warner had the nerve to say that man can't read defenses. That's my check. Kurt Warner was bagging groceries and lucked up and got
exactly,
a job.
That's your answer right there, Rich.
Must be the black NFL quarterback.
Where did he come from? I mean, when I was working in front of the New Jersey Gladiators, the Arena League. That's where I first saw Kurt Warner. I saw him play one game. That's where it was playing.
Yeah, Arena League.
Now, come on, Kurt. We talked about that last week. You know what they lie for certain people to make certain days to call on certain people to do certain things, so they're climbing to get there to make that money. That's what that was about.
Gwen, he started coming to voice of authority. Oh, Kurt Warner, give me a break.
You know what? You got to consider this. Whether you started out in Arena League or playing semi-pro or whatever the situation was, we are ignoring the reality that there is a huge talent pool of bodies that they are willing to throw into the pile at whatever level. Even if getting to 17 games means they would have to add, say, 3 or 4 more bodies to the taxi squads around the league. They would still save money because if I'm paying Fred 18 checks, check that, 18 checks times 2, then whatever interest was in all of those checks collectively is going to pretty much make up all most of that. So that by the time that second check gets through, shit, they don't owe them anything. They just basically gave them their money and held on to it, and because they held on to it, that little bit of interest gets mounted up. I mean, this
This is the naked cash grab, in my humble.
And Mike, add to this, Mike. Where do the owners make the most money? The players.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the extra game, chance to fill the house, and of course,
the players.
Home is 60-40, so ain't nobody really complaining because it's all extra money. But
yep.
You add that to the TV feeds, to the gates from the games, from individual games. It really is unreal money, and the underground money is now up to the surface. Everybody knows this action everywhere. So whether you're that one cat that's in the bar playing a ticket, you know, one of those teaser tickets, or whether you went to the casino yourself and you're doing the soup to nuts thing and you're betting as the game is going on, does that tell you? Hear me on this. Okay, so you're watching Eagles-Cowboys, and you've made your bets. And something happens where there's a pass that was intercepted. Eagle, the defender, picks it off, runs it into a touchdown. All of a sudden, you think you've collected on a 15-1 bet for $1,000. Flag on the play. Motherfuckers come up with some shit. They don't care what shit. They took it off the board. You are $15,000 lighter because you did not make that bet. And you mad as a motherfucker. So you try to catch up and do some other shit. I mean, they really haven't talked about what somebody who's a serious gambler, the kind of shit he could be in. And remember, Arch Schlichter lost his career because he was betting on football games. And this was long before any casinos anywhere else other than Las Vegas reared their ugly heads.
Tony Fingers was all in his ass. I was around Art Schlichter at the time he was Ohio State. Art Schlichter was betting on in high school. I'll say this. I'm making sure. My ex-wife was a news anchor, just retired out in California.
Okay.
She did a story about Art Schlichter. And make a long story short.
Yeah, very lady, too.
Yep. He did a story about Art Schlichter, and she did some research, and the research she gathered, the station, which was the WABC affiliate in Columbus, would not let program director. She thought she had something that would blow up her career. Her news director and the VP would not let her put that on air. You know why?
He
wasn't Ohio State grad. But you were in Columbus, bro.
What happened
was she had information and pictures of Art Schlichter betting on at the racetrack, sitting guest to who?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Earl Bruce, the head football coach.
Oh, shit.
I played pickup basketball with Art because Art could have. They had Art in the basketball team for a while. Art was a very good basketball player. They pushed him to make first team all state in basketball in Ohio. He was good, but he wasn't first team all state, but he was damn good. But Art Schlichter only played basketball with the fellas one time. The one time I played with him was when he had one of his boys, one of his flunkies with him to hold his bag. And in his bag, he said, make sure you watch that. He had a wad of money as big as a watermelon.
Oh, my God.
I'm going, damn. Yeah, Art would bet on how many raindrops are going to fall in the next hour.
Damn.
So he was channeling his inner Jimmy Kahn long before he
got in high school started.
Oh, my.
But they loved him so much. And he was a good ball player. Good ball player. And until reality hit him, got the pros, you can't do that in the pros, bro. You know, your betting can't take up your time to be a better quarterback, and that's where it fell short. But he was a good athlete. He was a hell of an athlete. Not a bad guy, but corrupts you. But and then my ex-wife had the stuff on him. But they said, you think we're going to show this and lose my job? No, not happening. Because you want to blow up your career? Not happening.
That's fair and balanced news, it sounds like.
No shit. Well, fellas, you know, we've talked about money in sports for a long time. And it's one sport we've kind of avoided for the most part because long before big contracts were secured in baseball or football, basketball, soccer had the hugest contracts in all of sport. And now there's some backlash because some of the soccer clubs across Europe wanted to form a super league. Now, soccer has all these different delineations from when they played a World Cup to when they played a Euro Cup where all the European countries compete against each other and whatnot. And then, of course, there's the local leagues like La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, the Premier League, and all that stuff. So 12 teams, including six in the Premier League, including Manchester United, Man City, Tottenham Hotspur, were going to join in with others like Real Madrid and Inter Milan to form a super-duper league where the potential for making money would have been somewhere in the realm of 300 million euros apiece.
Ouch. Ouch.
With the TV deal. Think about that. Now, we always talk about how the NFL makes their money and everybody gets their cut, but 3 million euros. So if a euro is 250 in American money, 1 euro, do the math. Think about how much you're talking about. And unfortunately, the idea is falling apart because apparently all of these Premier League teams have decided against it. They still are trying to make a half-assed effort to revive it. But, I mean, this is beyond greed is good. We can see stocks for companies on the stock market and
there you go,
say
Mike.
Assess
there
whether they're
go.
Valuable or not. You can't do that with a sport like soccer. Yeah.
Mike,
it's a whole different thing.
You got corporate executives of major corporations who are underlining this business and how it's going to affect their money, brother.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, let me be real. There are some folks who, when they go home, need to lock their door.
Yeah,
and to have a lock behind the lock of that door as well.
No shit.
You're playing with international commerce. You're playing with people who control finances globally.
Yep.
Now, it might seem insignificant, but if they're pissed off about something that's going to affect anything that they're doing because of the fact that what this does for the other platforms of finance that they have or that they want to hide, please.
And Patrick,
that's right.
Patrick, this is bigger than God, bigger than Suge Blatter, bigger than all of it, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You remember, this is the Rollerball scenario coming out. Remember, Rollerball was a movie that was originally done in 1975 starring James Caan, who they were playing this universal game where there wasn't any more war, but the real war was coming out of the corporate offices because they had decided on this game that everybody should play that would solve the problem for them. And there were specific rules with all of this. And we've seen guys cross-own franchises in sport. We saw the Cronkies do it when they bought a piece of one of the Premier League clubs and ownership of the Tampa Bay team at the same time.
The Glazers.
There are two or three situations just like this. And we're talking billions. We are way past the M in millions, billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is crazy money we're talking about.
International consortium, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, man. And the times, you know, the global aspect of it. This is not the NFL. The NFL, of course, is an American entity. But we're talking about soccer, which is international and global. There are people involved in this in areas that we can't even imagine that will come out the woodwork and say, you're going to do what? No, you're not doing that. I am.
Yep.
Really? Okay. Where's your mama live at?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Your family finances.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. If they look at, if I'm lying, I'm flying. Like,
no,
look
it's
at,
true.
Look at Mike.
Just,
Mike,
just
they
like,
look at,
just like the
they
guy
look
from
at,
Argentina, who was playing in the NBA, and his parent, his, I think his mother and or sister got kidnapped. Them people don't be playing.
Listen, one of the best sports movies, one of the best sports documentaries I ever saw was The Two Escobars. It was one of the few things that ESPN did right.
Oh, boy.
And it explained how the young man from Colombia, because he made one mistake and it went on goal, his life was marked for – he was marked for death. And that squad was so good, even Pelé said – they could whip Brazil's ass. I mean, we've never seen the likes of something like that. Somebody who's diehard Brazil would say like that about another country? No fucking way. They knew they were loaded. And they, and unfortunately, young man, his mistake cost him his life, and it cost the downfall of Colombian soccer.
Yeah. And, Mike, your point is well taken. You think there's nobody like that out there now?
Yeah.
Please.
That's right.
Please wait. When Michael Irvin went to that cop and said, "Do you know who I am?" Those guys would be like, "Oh no, Michael. Do you know who I am?"
We are.
That's right.
That's for real.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? The American ladies soccer team can say that because people keep trying to bring up this whole aspect of what we talked about a week ago with Sue Bird and LeBron James and money is made and money is not made. Look, the Williams sisters made their point, and their point was correct. We're the show. Y'all come to see us. When you come to see us lose or win, they come. So we get paid. And because we get paid, anybody who's good enough to beat us, they deserve to get paid. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The women's soccer team, same transformation. They started playing well. They started winning. They won one championship. They won two championships. They played the best around the world, and they won. And Megan Rapinoe and everybody else said, "We should be the show. Fuck the boys. Fuck the men's team. The men's team ain't done shit. We deserve to get paid." And they were filling the stands. You filled the stands. You're supposed to get paid, and they did. And they were right.
And by the way,
but not this women's basketball tournament.
By the way, aren't the men's basketball team eliminated from this year's World Cup?
Mm-hmm.
Hey Mike, just breaking news, man. We just had another victim in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. There was serving a search warrant. 40-year-old black man gunned down by the police.
Jesus.
That was this morning.
It never ends.
Yep.
It never ends.
I believe that there is a unwritten warrant on black men now.
Yep.
Man,
well,
it's like they're hunting
beforehand.
Us now, man. Damn.
Yeah. Mike, earlier today, I was trying to contact him, but I haven't been able to get to him yet. One of my chaplain brothers at Ohio State was a sergeant. He retired about 4 years ago. He was a sergeant in Columbus Police. I called him when the brother back in January, I think it was, called for the cop and they killed him in his own garage. And Ron was telling me what was going on. And they fired the cop immediately because it was crazy. And, you know, they went to the usual playbook of, you know, we're going to do something. They fired him. They got him off the force. They didn't prosecute him. They got him off the force.
Right.
I'm trying to find out what happened with this and with the girl, because we got two different stories. One story is that the girl called and got shot. Now we got a story of the young lady had a knife in her hand and the guy shot her because she was going to stab somebody else. I'm going, wait a minute. You got a gun in your hand. And you can't fire a shot at her leg or fire a shot at her to stop her, but you got to put four bullets in her chest.
Thank you.
I'll get some more information about that. 15
years old, come on, man.
At 15 years old,
target practice.
No, Tony's right.
Ron
never
Buccelli, believe
me. Rifle range, that's what he thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we have to be even more vigilant now. I mean, the you know, like I said, you enjoy it for what it is for the moment, but you need to get right back in the same position that you were in preparing for the verdict, because remember, there's still more of them than us.
And Tony, I was listening to your comment about it. I had a friend of mine from Columbus yesterday who called me, and they were at a restaurant. And I'm going, why? What's up? Because he provided me some other information. Look, he called me and said, Patrick, there's a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, sister, who was fine, by the way. But she was going around hugging everybody. She heard the verdict. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, for what? I mean, yeah. I'm happy that the verdict was guilty, but for what? That's one out of how many?
Exactly.
We had 174 events, 44 arrests, 7 trials, 1 conviction, 1.
Mhm. Yes. Yeah. It's
mm-hmm. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The only thing that it reminded me of was the night that Obama won the election.
Mm-hmm.
Now the real work starts.
Mm-hmm.
Now the real work starts. Because if you think that they aren't, you know, mobilizing even more so, because see, again, I hate to use a sports analogy, but the old boxing analogy of sitting back and admiring your work. Now, look, I'm sure homegirl was very genuine about all of that, but you still have to remain vigilant. You still, even more so now, because once you're back, because if you turn your back too quick, you may fall for 4 bullets in your back.
Hey,
Tony,
Tony, Tony, I got a question to ask you,
T. Tony.
I got a question.
While she was hugging
everybody,
that's when they shot the girl in Columbus.
Sure. It never ends, man. It never ends. You cannot.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather the fine line between being aware and being paranoid gets crossed all the time. But you know what?
Yeah.
I like to stay right in the middle. Because that's where everything lies.
Shimmering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abe, I got a quick question to ask the panel. Okay, it's interesting to me that the old dragon of the Democratic Party, I can't keep bringing this dragon up, Nancy Pelosi, seemed to want to put a little ice on Auntie Maxine Waters when she spoke out, and then the judge tried to say, well, you know, this will be sequestered. Now, help me with this, Patrick. Last time I checked, those jurors were sequestered. And what the ham sandwich got to do with Maxine Waters coming there and saying we want justice and then try to say that the murderer and his team can use her words against him?
Reggie,
help me out, Reggie. Help me out.
This was one time Auntie Maxine should have shut the fuck up, because they were saying that it's going to be used on appeal, and those appeals are going to take anywhere from 3 months to a year before they get into the Supreme Court.
He can't go nowhere. Yeah, he's sitting in jail.
Not that he's not less guilty, but it just opens the door for them to have some sort of plausibility to say, well, he didn't get a fair trial because that bitch had the nerve to say that his ass should be done. And, yeah, we know they'll try. But, see, in between then, we got Dante Wright to deal with. We got the young kid in Chicago to deal with. We got somebody else, the 16-year-old sister in Kansas City, North Kekalaki, to deal with.
Yeah.
So, there's going to be a line. And if you got to go all the way back to the end of the line, it may just hold back the inevitable. But the only motherfuckers that's making money off of this are the lawyers.
And they don't care because they're going to get paid whether they're on the right side or the wrong side.
Yeah.
It's a pernicious situation where it leaves us to, well, shit, we fought all of this to get just this. Y'all know the game changes. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a flaw, anytime there's a flaw in the game of white supremacy, they look to fix that motherfucker quickly. And we ain't even joking about that
Jason
shit.
Voting. Yeah, especially coming down to voting.
Well, that's all. Well, see, that's the thing. There's so many, you know, it's all intertwined. It's all intertwined because, let's face it, if as much as I hate to bring him his fat ass up, if Trump wins the election, there's no half of those things.
Oh, Lord.
There's no
Just you bring that up, T, just gave me a chill.
That's why I hate, see, I don't even like to give him that little bit of a power because he don't do it. But see, cause and effect. And see, the reason why I say don't focus so much on him, because see, this is nothing. You see, white folks will try to tell you that this is something new. No, it isn't.
That's
right. No, it isn't.
That's not how we really are. Now, don't even start that.
Fred, I'm not going to start it. I'm gonna pick up my Bugs Bunny baton and lead that motherfucker as hard as I can. With my feet, with my legs, I'm gonna lead that dance.
Lead the parade, too. You gonna lead
the
parade?
I keep telling you, you guys are too sensitive.
And Fred, I'm just as sensitive as Coach Maynard is docile. That's how sensitive I am.
Okay.
Oh Lord.
God, you so jealous. Take it that way.
God, I'm jealous, you guys.
It's the only way. I mean, like I said, and see, was yesterday's verdict important? Yes. Absolutely it was. But take it for the context of what it is. That's all. And I don't want to completely blow it away, but I don't want to make it out like, you know, this way. Don't start queuing up Sam Cook or Bobby McFerrin or what have
you. Thank you.
T-Mac, the best way to look at this is this is just a one play of one game or one quarter of one game when
there's
a whole bunch of games we play. As I remember the numbers that Gary rattled off, it was 174 incidents, and I forget what time, it's like 4 or 5 years. There's 174 incidents to which less than 25% were even questioned, not to mention charged. And then this is the first conviction, or correction, this is the second conviction, because the other conviction of a police officer shooting somebody was his brother who shot this white girl from Australia.
That was Muhammad Noor.
Mm-hmm.
He did 12 years for being a cop while black.
Chauvin doesn't get the least 12, then it all will be all for naught. But see,
that's right.
God forgive me, guys. I think this guy is a much of a cop. I think he'll kill himself.
Because
they'll make him a martyr though.
Listen, he'll blow his brains out, and the next thing you know, he'll be standing in front of royalty. And what can I tell you?
A man with a CD is a terrible man.
Presenting his most royal majesty.
Oh, God. Oh, God. The quote, T-Mac, the black man with a CD.
The King, Your Majesty.
Sheriff of Nottingham, in gratitude for your faithful service, I shall knight thee.
Your most gracious Majesty.
In the name of my most royal Majesty, I knight thee. Arise, Sir Loin of Beef. Arise, Earl of Clothes. Arise, Duke of Brittingham. Arise, Baron of Monkshelton. Arise, Essence of Myrrh, Duke of Magnesia, Warren of Ten.
That crown
you are too kind.
Got lots of stamina.
He's singing London Bridge is falling down.
Falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down. Falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
That's right. All right,
that's wrong. That was just wrong, Mike. That was wrong. Bringing back my childhood like that.
You know, after all these years, I still don't understand where he got the sirloin of beef thing from.
That was Freddy the Fingers. That was his part. What's that? No, Freddy the Finger?
Joey the Finger.
Yeah, Joey the Finger.
That was quick and dinner. Don't forget the wife, Lady Fingers. Don't forget the wife.
There you go. Look, it's good that we can smile about some of this shit, because make no bones about it. You know, yeah, our people and our people before their people, they weren't smiling. You know, if this were a soccer match, we were lucky enough to nick a draw before final whistle. Make no bones about this. They're reloading and trying to change things as we speak. They've already tried to change laws regarding protesting. You know, in Oklahoma, if you just happen to be in the way of a moving car, well, sad on your ass. They have the right to run your black ass over. I mean, we ain't making this shit up. They just did this stuff. So if you look at everything that's in front of you, you're like, what the fuck else are in these motherfuckers' minds? They're not even playing. They know what's up.
Mm-hmm. They play for keeps. Like I say, they fall in line while we stand there and fall in love. That's why they going around playing.
Well, that's why I use the phrase, you know, admiring our work.
Yeah.
There's no time to be admiring our work now.
You don't have time for it.
Thank you. You got to get back on the grind. Look, they got Stone,
right.
and then Ben Carson comes out. Well, you know, I think the president is racist because he's trying to do culture. Unconditionally, he's been doing that cancer culture.
You know what?
He's just reading
what's in front of him.
He's just reading what's in front of him.
Before we get the final thoughts, I just want everybody to remember the words of Val Demings. Val said, "You motherfucker," and she didn't say it, but she said it. "You motherfucker, how dare you? You know, we out there slinging on these streets and you bitching up and talking a bunch of junk. Dang, got nothing to do with the fact you use those cops as fodder. And any fucking right-wing person who happens to be pro-cop, if you think what Jim Jordan did was cool, fuck you, because you're part of the problem. We're not here to indict cops. We want cops to do their job. You know, if I'm speeding, I get caught, okay, write the ticket. But that shouldn't mean you're going to bust a cap in my black ass. You know, you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I think Fred said this before, and he was so right. We reserve the right. For the fuck, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we want the right to be left the fuck alone. And I'm 1,000% in agreement on that shit. So get on to your loved ones and all that. We could. But the motherfuckers that abuse power, you slave catcher mentality motherfuckers, you need to burn. That's point blank.
Amen. Nothing comes out of me.
So we are at final thoughts. I appreciate the chefs throwing some good shit into the pot tonight. And, Professor, since I quoted you last, throw something in the pot, please.
That pot is grilling.
Well, first of all, I don't know if y'all heard about this. We had a young air trooper, basically, got killed in a jump yesterday out at Fort Bragg.
Oh, no.
And, you know,
Reggie can tell you that, you know, those rehearsals and those practice and training things that they do out there are for real. I'm not sure all the details, but I know they had a jump yesterday out of Bragg, and they were correcting me. They were all maneuvers, and one of the paratroopers got killed. Young lady in her early 20s. And, you know, you know, we got some issues as a country. And like we were saying earlier, you know, this situation yesterday, I was hoping for a total conviction, although I still had my doubts because we've been down this road before. Having been down that road before, we know that out of nowhere it can come innocent of all charges. And the victim becomes the bad guy in this situation, these situations. And I didn't want that to happen. Plus, I know some of y'all cousins was out there just waiting for an opportunity to go act a pure tea damn fool. I ain't want that to happen either.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that since the jury came in yesterday and found him guilty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the meantime, we done had at least three more cop shootings. Not to mention the thugs we had, you know, situation here in Durham where this little girl was on a mattress on the floor by the door and some fool came shooting through the door. And they're not, I mean, you know, she's 4 years old, so where's the 4-year-old on the upper part of the body to hit her that she's not going to be able to rest her life? You know, we got some, you know, on one hand, I do understand the police and why they're crazy because, hey, they work with crazy people. But that don't mean they should have what the old folks used to call it, the freedom of the house. No, heck no.
Yep.
We gotta be vigilant, and we gotta keep working. You know, we don't have a perfect system, but we got a system, and we gotta make the system. And my daddy used to say, "Boy, learn how the system works, learn how to make it work for you." And that's a man who had a third-grade education. That's PhD material. But anyway, we're still working on the
system,
making good progress. We got our books are still for sale. We got some other things working in our favor now, and we got to keep it going. You know, we got some things we got to get taken care of simply because, hey, if we don't get our history on paper now, and we'll never get it. www.blackheritagereview.com. Buy books.
Yes, indeed. Buy those books.
Which one is the latest book?
This time for Black History, under the tree, on the coffee table, the nightstand, buy those books. Throw something in the pot, please.
Yeah, real quick, Fraser, which one is your latest book you got out now? I want to make sure I'm getting the right one. Which one is your newest one?
It's one at the top, the football history.
Football history. Oh, okay. I don't know why I kept seeing it in one class. You know, I want to get the football history. Okay, gotcha. It seems like Snoop Dogg came out with a new video, and guess what? One of the dancers, wearing a shirt from Virginia University. Now these Negroes have lost their mind because the girl's shaking her ass. Now I'm like, you talking Snoop Dogg in that video, and the president of Union is upset about it because they say it shows bad taste and bad quality for the university. Well, excuse me, last time I checked, and Patrick helped me, any publicity you get is good. They're bad. It brings $1 million of free advertisement that people are going to say, Union, what's that? But these niggas done lost their mind. All I got to say is nothing like a good old church school to talk about somebody being upset with somebody shaking their ass at a church school. Please, don't
Reggie,
get me started.
Reggie, let me ask you a question,
Yes, sir.
Have you seen, and I've recorded at least five HBCU schools here when they came to Jersey. if they put milk and ice cream on the hips of these children and these bands, they can open up ice cream shops across the world, shaking their hands.
That's right.
All I got to say is
I still think it was a mistake that they did not take full advantage of the Whitney Young Classic. You know, put asses in the sand, the whole procession, the sheriff,
yeah, too much
pregame, like all of that. They wasted
big
a huge
game.
Opportunity there. They did.
Yeah, I just what happened another day.
Put this way, guys. Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey will look a hell of a lot different on them than with somebody else.
You better
read
that shit.
Oh, God.
Patrick,
I had too much fun. I hate you guys. I had too much fun. I'm so jealous.
Patrick, throw something in the pot, please.
I was talking to my boy, who happens to be in with my best friend since we were 13 years old playing football. He's going to be on the 68 championship, the Buckeye team, national championship, and he's the one that got me to come to Ohio State. And we've been, you know, he's my brother from another mother since we were 13 years old. And we were talking on Sunday, and he kind of brought something to mind. And I had to think about it. I said, Ray, you're right. And what he brought to mind was when we were kids, we had our first Sandlot game, which was a big deal, played at nighttime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had close to 4,000 people there at a Sandlot game. Yes.
Cool.
But we played at Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City. Last week we celebrated the 75th year of Jackie Robinson, of him playing in the major leagues, and a lot of stories, quite frankly, were great pieces done by local papers here about Jackie. But the thing I'm saying about it, he played in Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City, which is no longer, unfortunately, here, because reason why. I'm sitting on the outfield of juries of Roosevelt Stadium now because it was torn down. It's now condominiums. But what I'm going to extend that to, in the city of Patterson, it's called Ratliff Field, which was one of the last places Negro League baseball was played in Patterson.
Oh, right.
And it's a real nice field, but it's been torn down. It's been ravaged by time and lack of attention. Well, New Jersey and people come together. They're going to rehab the whole field. It's a place where Larry Doby, who worked for a little while, was the Nets before he retired. They're going to change. They're going to not only restore the stadium, which fits about 6,000 people, but they're building a brand new apartment complexes and condos around the whole place. It's a wonderful piece. But it all started with Jackie Robinson playing at Roosevelt Stadium, and I forgot to really mention. And Ray brought it out. I said, you know, Ray, you're right. You're right. We should be proud of that.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, brother. Big G, come on in and throw something in the pot.
Well, the reason for it in Minneapolis, I want people to pay attention. There are more disabled black men being arrested, shot, ran over than any other group in America. Look it up. African-American disabled men are an endangered species. You know, black guys are endangered. It's disabled African-American men.
Damn.
This is it. It's getting really serious now. Because police forces all over the country are overbearing on black disabled males. It's happening all across this country. And Right on. There we go. 1 o'clock. Beauty Box Friday. With a baby. With art.
Ooh. That's going to be nice.
A woman. A good baby. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now we're talking. Yeah, mm. Curtis Mayfield and
right on for the right on.
That's mm. that's definitely a right on for the right on. But Philip Bailey and William Poogie mm. Hart, two of the best falsetto tenors ever. And it's going to be interesting to hear how that one shakes out. We have
wait
a show
minute, wait
tomorrow
minute.
As well.
Mike, who's going to get Philip Bailey?
William Hart.
Don't find us. The Delphonics, Poogie.
Oh, mm.
that was
oh,
his
mercy.
Nickname from the hood. Yeah.
Next week, it's gonna be Jackie Wilson against Billy Calvary.
Oh shit!
Jackie Wilson against who?
Jackie Wilson against Felix Cavalieri of the Rascals. Remember the Young Rascals?
Yeah, actually, there's no contest. That's all right.
Beautiful morning, baby.
Somebody's
beautiful morning.
Somebody's going to be
actually,
mad. What a beautiful
day.
I want to go outside in the rain.
That's right.
Man, white
the Young Rascals were the first white act signed to Atlantic Records. That's how
there
deep that
was.
Brothers and
sisters,
give me props.
Oh, yeah, big time. But
Tony,
he ain't touching Jackie Wilson.
In the pot, please.
Oh, my God, they've won 8 in a row. I don't know what
they're going by 2 points tonight.
In overtime.
Uh-oh, in overtime, the boot. Oh, shit.
Yay.
Let's put it this way. If your grandmama mentioned the New York Knicks and an 8-game winning streak years ago, she was probably 70 proof at the time. But they have a possibility of getting. They have a possibility of getting the fourth seed and being having a home field advantage for the first round of the playoffs.
Go New York, go!
You know, like Tom Thibodeau coming through, huh, T? You should have hired Thibodeau a long time ago, T.
I'm beside myself. I actually, this way. Much like the Swallows coming back to Capistrano, I've seen 17 Knicks fans in the last 3 days. I don't know if they got broken out of jail or they just realized won a bunch of games. But we'll enjoy it and see. We'll see how long it goes.
Yeah,
you're
right about that. And Tony, I can say that I congratulate you. But please keep the Knicks fans we know they can get our hands at, you know, that they're back. No, they're getting started.
No. Look, I'll be the first one to tell you. New York Knicks fans that live in New York are certified lunatics. And to be honest with you, it's a discredit to the lunatics who actually have a reason to be crazy.
and Tony, I don't know who's worse, Yankee fans, Knicks fans, or Cowboy fans. That's a discussion right there.
The fact that you mentioned the Yankees and the Knicks in the same, I'm gonna look past that this time because I know you're. I'll even ignore the Cowboy thing as well. It's a start.
Well, one thing that shouldn't be overlooked was the fact that Julius Randle has become a huge get for the Knicks, and he is largely responsible for them having a legit big man who can play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were talking about his mama last year at this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now he's talking about Zion mama when he hit him with them left jumpers the other game.
Mama said knock you out. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been knocking him out. Give
him
his props.
Get this dude off the court. That boy got a bad left hand
jumper.
And
Gary says, will it be go New York, go New York, go? We shall see. But
go, New York, go.
I am thankful that we can catch our breath just for a little bit. And I mean just for a little bit because, you know, they'll be cranking up the dick dastardly shit as soon as the air clears from this.
Sure.
This is what our ancestors understood. Ain't no rest. You know, when Patrick's revered father was in the house, he was there knowing he had taken care of business, but he knew there was more to do. You know, Fred's parents, my parents, Tony's, Gary's, especially Mark Gray, God only knows how many bars of soap she had out there for those motherfuckers. Having said that, all we know is what we see. And what we see is our humanity in the form of a 17-year-old girl who was brave enough and resolute enough to record this. If she doesn't record it, that cocksucker gets away free.
With no punishment.
No, none. And that was the pivotal move from when this thing started. It's the pivotal move from now. Everybody will have their cameras, whether they're on their phones or in their cars or whatever. They will be trained. They will be watching. And if you think for 1 minute that this will not be a game changer forever as we go along with this, as they'll try to legislate around that, grits ain't groceries, eggs ain't poultry. And, how can I say that? Caitlyn Jenner's a motherfucking man.
Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I light on my baby and stay with her till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I dig a 10-foot ditch and run through the jungle fighting lions with a switch. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Yes, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Blisters on my feet, trying to find my baby and bring her home with me. You better run into me, baby, and be convinced. If you don't run into me, woman, you ain't got no sense. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a money, my woman, and my pet. I got to have your baby settle for nothing less. Give up all my good time girls and set for happiness. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I want you, baby. Yet your smiling face is my heavenly light. Well, Mona Lisa was the man.